Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Nun Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 2 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Hei Omid Beis. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance in the margin, where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Knias Behema, the purchase of an animal, Bekesef Meiser Sheni, with funds that were designated as the redemption for Meiser Sheni, the Meiser Sheni tithe. And where did this purchase take place? Chutz Yerushalayim. The purchase of the animal took place outside of Yerushalayim. Bear in mind that when one has Meiser Sheni funds, the expectation is that you would carry the money to Yerushalayim, and within the walls of Yerushalayim you would buy food. You'd buy an animal, offer it as a sacrifice, and eat it, offer a sacrifice of Korban Shlomim, for example. In this case, he purchased the animal outside Yerushalayim. Let's say he did it b'shogeg. He was unaware. Let's say he did it b'mezid. He was aware. The Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. Ein loikchim behema b'mois meiser sheni. One is not allowed to purchase an animal with the meiser sheni funds. Those are the monies upon which he redeemed the sanctity of his meiser sheni tithe. One should not buy an animal outside Shalayim. Rashi cites 2 reasons. One, the Pasuk says, V'tzarta kesef biyodecha. You're supposed to carry money unto Yerushalayim, not an animal. V'yod shemo takfish b'terech haderech. The very animal that you bought with Meiser Sheni funds might become diminished by the time you get to Yerushalayim, and you're thereby diminishing the Meiser Sheni that you otherwise would have been able to use in its fullest sense had you bought the animal in Yerushalayim. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Nun Vav. V'im lokach, if he didn't heed the law and bought an animal outside Yerushalayim, b'shogeg, Rashi says at the top, b'shogeg shelo yoda shein mois meiser sheni. He wasn't aware that he was using Meiser Sheni money. So the Gemara says, if he bought it b'shogeg, yachzru domim l'mekoimam. We tell the seller of the animal, you got money, return the money, return the Meiser Sheni money, and take your animal back. This is a mekach tos. There was a mistake in, this was a mistaken transaction. Had the person known that they were Meiser Sheni funds, he never would have exchanged Meiser Sheni cash in order to in exchange for an animal. It's much easier to take cash to Jerusalem than to drag a whole living animal to Yerushalayim. So if the sale was done b'shogeg, so then, as we said, it was done under mistaken circumstances, mistaken pretenses, and hence the deal is off. B'mezid, if the person, the purchaser, was aware he was using Meiser Sheni money, tale v'tochal b'Yerushalayim. So bring the animal and eat it in Jerusalem. Omar Rebbe Yehuda, b'med v'mamurim, regarding what we said about mezid, that we say, carry the animal to Jerusalem. B'miskaven v'lokach tchilo l'shem shlomim. That's where the purchase of the animal was made with the intention of using the animal as a korban shlomim, as a peace offering, a sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash. Aval b'miskavein lahoitzi mois meiser sheni l'chulin. However, someone whose intent was to spend use meiser sheni money and have it leave the realm of meiser sheni, have it become chulin. What does that mean? It means that he bought the animal with the intention of eating it outside of Yerushalayim. Rashi explains that when he says lichulin shelokcha li'oichla chutz l'makom, he bought the animal with the intention not of bringing it as a sacrifice to Jerusalem, but to eat it in the wrong place, to eat it outside Yerushalayim. Then we say, Bain b'shogeg, bain b'mezid, yachzuru domim l'mekoimam. This needs some explanation, because on the one hand, we said miskave means he does something with intention. And then it says bain b'shogeg, whether it's unintentional or intentional. So this needs clarification. In order to achieve that, we look into the Rashi. You'll notice bain b'shogeg. Bain shogeg, Rashi says, lav amiskavein lahotzi l'chulin koi. The term shogeg doesn't have relevance to the term miskavein lahotzi. Dimkein lav shogegu. Then it's not shogeg. Miskavein means with intent. Shogeg means lack of intent. V'hai miskavein dekotoni, the term miskavein that appears in the source, amezid koi. It's a comment on the case of Mezid, the Hochi Komar, and thusly we are to understand the source. Avolokha l'shem chulin, one who bought with Meisur Sheni money, an animal, with chulin intention. And we explained chulin intention means with the intention of eating the animal outside Yerushalayim. The Mezid Didei, the Mezid form of that, the intentional form of that, is Miskavin Lahoitzi Meisur L'chulin Hu, where he intended to use Meiser Sheni money for purchasing something that he would treat as chulin, that he would treat as common food, having nothing to do with Yerushalayim. So then we say, someone whose intention was the purchase of the animal, the food to eat outside Yerushalayim, Bain Shogeg Bain Mezid Yachzuru Domim Lumkoman. Shogeg Mishum Demekar Tosu. If his intention was using Meiser Sheni money to buy food to eat outside of Yerushalayim, but he was unaware that it was Meiser Sheni or Mezid, he knew it was Meiser Sheni, the Kansinon Le Lamocher. We fine the seller. Can I really come on? As the Gemara says later on, why do we call off the deal? And the Gemara uses a phrase, "Delav achbara ganav ela achura ganav." It's not the mouse that stole, but it's the hole that stole. It's where the money is, there is the problem. So the Meiser Sheni money was given to the seller, and it was done with improper intention. So the money, the deal is off. The whole deal is called off. We go back to the Gemara. We ask a question, V'ho anantanan, Reb Yehuda Omer, b'mezid, kidesh. We saw that Rabbi Meir is saying that if you use Meiser Sheni money, knowing that it's Meiser Sheni money and with which to marry a woman, there is no mistake, he's aware, there is b'mezid, kidesh means that the marriage takes hold. And we don't say that because of a knas, we will call it all off and there will be no marriage. No, it says b'mezid kidesh. Contrast using the markings, the dashed underline under the term mezid you see here and the line before. And here, as opposed to before, it said before, yachzuru domim koyman, which means the deal is off. And here, it says kidesh, the marriage goes through. In order to resolve this, we have two approaches, which are introduced by triangles. And on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, we've written Tshuvos Liyashev Shitas Reb Yehuda. These are answers to resolve, to reconcile the sources in which Reb Yehuda appears. The Lefi Mokar Echad, according to one Tanaic source, Hamaskavin Lohotzi Mois Meiser Sheni Lechulin, someone who intends to use Meiser Sheni for the purpose of Chulin, he purchases using Meiser Sheni money, food that he will not eat in Yerushalayim. Yachsu Domun Koimam, the Kansinu Lemocher, we say that the money is to be given back to the purchaser. The seller must relinquish the money, and he'll get back whatever he sold, and that's a knas to the mocher. That's a fine we impose on the mocher that he should lose the deal, meaning he loses the money that he thought he was going to profit. That's according to one source. Lefi mocher sheni, according to the other source, Hamakadish isha b'maiser sheni b'mezid kinesh v'lo kansina l'mocher. Here we don't impose a knas on the mocher. Who's the mocher in a case of marriage? It's the woman. She's selling herself, so to speak, into the domain of her husband. And that mocher that we're referring to is Dahainu Ha'isha, the woman. So now we go back to the Gemara for resolutions. Number one, Omar Rav Elazar, Isha Yodas Shein Mois Maisu Sheini Mishalin Al Yoda. A woman knows that when she is given Mois Maiser Sheni, the Mois Maiser Sheni, the cash that she's given, doesn't lose its sanctity. She will take the money and can and buy food with it in Yerushalayim. So the status of the funds as Maiser Sheni is preserved. The manifestation of the halach of Maiser Sheni remains. The Gemara continues with a question. Maskifla Rabbi Yirmi of Arei, Behemot Tmeya, Avodah Mukarkois, unkosher variety animals, a horse, a donkey, slaves, a karkois, land, Dodom Yodea, Shein Mois Maiser Sheni Mishana Lehem, a person who sells a horse in exchange for Maiser Sheni funds, slaves or land, he knows fully well that the kedusha, the sanctity that was on the money, doesn't get transferred to the horse or to the slave. Utnan, and the source says as follows regarding such transactions. It says, Ein loikhin beima tamei avonu mukarkois b'mois meiser sheni. A person is not to purchase unkosher variety animals, slaves, nor land with meiser sheni funds. Those are monies upon which Maiser Sheni fruits had been redeemed. And one shall not make such a purchase, afilu b'Yerushalayim, even in Yerushalayim, even though he's taken the money to Yerushalayim, which is its eventual destination, still not to purchase these things. V'im lokach, and if he did, yochal kenegdon, the purchaser who bought a horse with Maiser Sheni money must take out of his pocket that same amount of money and buy food in Yerushalayim. And it is not enough that we say that the mocher, the one who sold him the horse and got money for it, gives back the money. So that even though you have the same element of the person knows, that's why we dashed underline the words yodas above and just before the source the word yodea. Even though in both cases you have this element of the seller is aware that the Maiser Sheni is not going to lose its Kedusha, the Kedusha of the Maiser Sheni, the sanctity of the Maiser Sheni doesn't get transferred onto the lady, and it doesn't get transferred onto the horse that was bought. And yet Reb Elazar said that in the case of the lady, no problem. She just brings the money to Shalayim and buys food there. And for some reason, here in the case of the guy that sold the horse, we don't say that he will simply use the money for buying food in Yerushalayim. But rather, we said that the purchaser has to take out of his pocket that amount of money, and he buys food in Yerushalayim. So that the answer that Rabbi Elazar gave before is brought here into question. Ela, so we approach number two. Rabbi Yehuda above said, B'mezid Kidesh. B'mezid Kidesh indicates that the purchase, the deal goes through. Whereas in the earlier source, Rabbi Yehuda said, in Mezid Yachsu Domin Limakaimon, the misuse of the Meiser Sheni funds results in the undoing of the sale. Ela, Hochabisha Chaveira Askinon. The Yod-Ah. This answer is a complete reversal of what we were assuming before. And that is, in the case of the woman, she's an Isha Chavera, she's an intelligent and an educated, halachically educated woman. So she knows that her receipt of Meiser Sheni doesn't result in the money losing its sanctity. And she will take it to Yerushalayim. But a general vendor of whatever, of horses, of donkeys, of land, they don't know that the Meiser Sheni retains its sanctity upon their receipt of those of the money, the purchase money. So they're not aware. They might very well think that when someone buys using Meiser Sheni money a donkey, the sanctity leaves the money and goes on to the donkey. Being that that's the case, in what Rabbi Yehuda had to say, that the deal is completely called off. Omar Mar, Im Lokach Yochal Kenegdon. We saw that just two lines above, this is a quote, that if a person used Meiser Sheni money to buy a horse, buy a donkey, he has to take out of his pocket that amount of money and buy food in Yerushalayim. The Gemara asks, Vamai, why is that the procedure? Yachzuru damav l'mekamu kihasam. Why not say that the deal is called off? Just like we said above in the case of someone that bought a behema tahura, bemezid, with Meiser Sheni funds. We have little arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the moral text. You can see where you saw that above. And that's also why we have the dot underlining to see, to show you how we're citing the quote from above in a more rapid, more ready fashion. The Gemara answers, Omar Shmuel. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Kishe Borach. Borach means the seller ran away with the money. Well, if the seller ran away with the money, so there's no possibility of saying we call off the deal. In such a case, then, we said, Yoichal Kenegdon, as we saw in the case of someone who bought a donkey with Meiser Sheni money. So the donkey seller, he ran away, and we don't have any other choice, so to speak, other than say that the purchaser must take out of his own pocket that same amount of money and buy food in Yerushalayim. The Gemara raises a question. V'taima deborach. So we're explaining the reason for this ruling is because the seller ran away. Halo borach. If the seller had not run away, kansinon lamocher. Are we saying that the seller has to lose out? And as we said before, we call off the deal. V'niknasei lalokeach. Why not impose the fine on the purchaser? You misuse the Meiser Sheni money, pull out of your pocket that same amount of money and buy food in Yerushalayim and leave the vendor, the seller alone. The Gemara answers using an analogy. It's a simple moshal, but we'll then apply it to the case. So you want to know why we don't impose the fine on the purchaser, but rather on the seller, whereby we call off the deal. Lav achbaro gonav. It's not the mouse that stole the cheese. Ela chura gonav. It's the hole where the mouse brought the cheese. It's the hole that is the thief. So that you're looking at where the Meiser Sheni money is located. It's located in the domain of the seller. Question. Ve'i lo achbaro. And if there was no mouse, chura, my covet, what did the hole do? So the blame goes on the mouse. No, mistabra, it's most likely called hecha deiko isura hasam kansinon, where the isur is found, the isur meaning where the money that was violated is found, that's where we impose our fine. And in our case, the analogy is to the seller. It's in his domain that the meiser sheni money is located. So he has to part with it. Before we continue with the new Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows: Rishima, a list, shel dvorim wasurbano, items that are prohibited to even benefit from, not just prohibited in eating, but prohibited in deriving benefit from them. Ubekachi efshel lekadesh b'mishon, since you can't derive benefit from them, you cannot use them to marry a woman. The marriage of the woman through these items would be considered your deriving of benefit. So now let us read the Mishnah. The Mishnah, bearing in mind, is a list of things that are prohibited to benefit from. Hamakadish Be'orlo, fruits of a fruit tree within the first 3 years of their development. Bekilei Akerem, grains that grew in the midst of a vineyard. Beshor HaNiskal, an animal that is sentenced to be stoned. For example, an animal that killed a human being, the animal is to be stoned. Ubegla Rufa, that's the calf used in the ceremony when a murder victim is found between two cities. So the closer city brings conducts a ceremony involving a calf. And we call that Egla Rufa, where the calf's neck is broken. Number five, Betzipore Metzora. These are birds that are used in the beginning of the purification process of a Metzora. Ubeseir Nozir, the hair shaved off the head of a Nozir, person who finished his Nazirus period, his Nazirite-ship. And number seven, Upeter Chamor, firstborn donkey that was not redeemed. Uboser Becholov, a dish that was made of cooking milk and meat together. The Chulin Shinishchatu Bazora, meat that was slaughtered in the temple courtyard. Something was non-sacrificial meat slaughtered. Common meat that was slaughtered in the temple courtyard. Any of these entities that one was Mekadesh with them, Eino Mekudeshes, the woman is not married. Mochron Vekidesh B'demeyem, Mekudeshes, if they were sold. Not that it's allowed, not that one is allowed to sell these things, but if they were sold and the man got their money value in exchange, the money does not become Osir Bahano as was the original item. And therefore, if he did so, he sold them and got cash for them, Vekidish B'nam, and married with the money, Mekudeshes, she will be married. If you allow your eye to scan ahead, and we encourage that so much when we use our Gemara marking system, you'll notice a series of triangles appear. And on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivne, under the structural note, we indicate that this is the beginning of a rather long discussion that will continue to Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. And Minolon is highlighted by the triangle. Mekoros, sources, l'isra anos, shekol echod mi'advorim ha'mofiyim b'mishnah. Each one of the items that appeared in the Mishnah, we indicated were osur banah, forbidden to derive benefit from them. How do you know in each one of the cases? You'll see that we also have a numbering scheme that runs down the right-hand side of the Gemara text. And if you allow your eye to scan the pages, you'll see how this numbering scheme continues till Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Be'orlo Minolon. From where do we know that it is prohibited to derive benefit from those fruits of the first 3 years of a fruit tree fruit production? The Sanya, the Pasuk says, now before we read the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a quote from Vayikra, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Chof Gimel. And it says, Let's read the pasuk together first before going into the Gemara. V'chisavo el haaretz unetatem kol etz machol v'ratem or losos pirio shalosh shanim yeh lochem arenim lo yeachel. The Gemara. Arenim lo yeachel. So we see from here that which is orla is not to be eaten. Ein li'ela yisrachila. From this I would learn only the prohibition of eating it. Hano minayin. Shelo yehenem imenu, that one is not to benefit from them. And now we have examples of that. Velo yitzba boy, velo yadlik boy asaner. He shouldn't use orla fruits as a dye, nor should he use it as a fuel. If he has, let's say, orla olives, not use the olive oil from those olives in as a fuel for a candle. Talmud lomar va'raltem orla so. There's a double expression, the rabbis as kulam, to include, as prohibited, all of the different uses, not just eating. Bekila akerem and olam, from where do we know that mixed varieties that grow in a vineyard, if you planted, let us say, grains in a vineyard, the grains are usur bahana, min olam, from where do we know that? Now here we have two sources. Omar Chizkiah presents a pasuk, Omar Kro, pen Tikdash. That pasuk is from the context of Kilei HaKerem, and the term pen tikdash is as if it's saying pen tu kadesh. In other words, don't plant mixed varieties in a vineyard, for lest you come to need to burn them. Ravashi Omar, now burning it is indication, of course, that it's otherwise prohibited to benefit from them. Ravashi Omar, pen yeh kodesh. Don't plant, let us say, don't plant grains in a vineyard, lest they become holy. Holy, that which is holy is something you're not allowed to derive personal benefit from. It's osur bahano. Question. Ima kodesh tefes es domov. If you compare it to kodesh, if I, let us say, exchange an item that's sanctified for money, the sanctity that was on the original item is transferred. Teufis is literally grabs upon the money. So the sanctity goes on the money. And the original item, that's the original sanctified item, the Yotzei L'chulin, that's part and parcel of standard redemption procedure. So if you're going to compare Kilei HaKerem to Kodesh, are you going to say Av Kilei HaKerem? If you sold the grains that grew in a vineyard, Taifes is Dama V'yotze L'chulin, that the money now becomes Osir Bahano and the grains are allowed, or Mutter, that's not true. We know, we even said in the Mishnah, that Kilei HaKerem, in amongst the list of nine items in the Mishnah, if you sold them, the Kilei HaKerem, the Isur, the prohibition, doesn't latch on to the money. Elo machvarto kidechizkia, rather, it's more likely. A machvarto means it's clearer to follow Chizkia's approach, pen tikdash pen tukadesh, more than Ravashi's approach, trying to compare Kilei HaKerem to Kodesh. The characteristics of Kilei HaKerem, in fact, do not resemble the characteristics of Kodesh, as we just said. Shor haniskal, the animal that is sentenced to being executed. Minolan, from where do we know that animal is prohibited to benefit from? On the side of the Gemara, we have an Osei topic heading, which says, Minayin deshor niskal osur banov, afilu im yishru deisoi acha gmardino. Where do we know that the shor niskal, we call the stoned ox, the ox sentenced to stoning, is prohibited to benefit from, even if you slaughtered it after its final sentencing? In other words, though you slaughtered it, though you treated it with the, we'll say, the halachic method of enabling one to eat meat, it will not help in the case of a shor haniskal. The Gemara. Desanyo. Mimashma shenemar sokeil isokeil hashor. And my recommendation is, even before we continue reading in the Gemara, we glance at the side where the pasuk is quoted, Shmos Perichof Aleph Pasuchof Ches. Let's read the pasuk together just to get a flavor of what we're going to be seeing in the source quoted in piecemeal. The pasuk says, V'chigach Shor Es Ish O Es Isha. an ox gores a woman, a man or a woman, umes, and the person died. The animal is to be stoned, and its meat is not to be consumed. Here we'll just translate, and the owner of the ox is cleansed, is clean. The Gemara. The we're reading from the beginning of the source, dealing with the Shor HaNiskal. Mimashma Shinemar Sakili Sokel HaShor. From the Pasuk teaching me that the animal is to be stoned, to be killed. Eini Yodea Shinevela Hi Unevela Asura Bachila. Wouldn't I be able to figure out, through common sense, that the animal corpse is a nevela? It's a mere corpse, and nevela, we know from other sources, is aser bachila. You're not allowed to eat nevela. The pasuk says in Devarim Perek Yudalad Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela. Ma Talmud Lomar Lo Yelchelus Besaro. Why then, by the Shor HaNiskal, once the Torah describes it's being stoned, does the Torah have to say, and thou shalt not eat the meat? It's obvious. Magidloch, this teaches us. Shim shochtoi. Liachar shenigmar dino. Osur bachila. The lo yeochel besoro phrase tells me, not only if it was stone, that we know is prohibited in eating because of it's an avela, but even if you slaughtered it with a proper halachic, proper ritual slaughtering, we wouldn't call that an avela. But nevertheless, the Torah is saying you cannot eat it. Behano aminayin. From where do I know that the Shor HaNiskal is prohibited to derive any benefit from it? Talmud Lomar, Uval HaShor Noki. My mashma, how do you see from those words, Ubal HaShor Noki, the owner of the animal is clean, do you see a reference to an Isor Hano, a prohibition of deriving even benefit from it? Shimon ben Zoma Omer, Shimon ben Zoma explains, how do you see from Ubal HaShor Noki that means Osir Bano? Ke'odam sh'omer l'chaveru, as people speak one to another, and they say, Yotza ploni noki minuchosav v'ein loy bohem ano shel klum. Even in English we say, so-and-so has been cleaned out. He's noki minuchosav, he's been cleansed of his properties. And as a result, he has no more pleasure from it, no more benefit from it, he's been cleaned out. And that's what Baal HaShor Noki means, that the meat is prohibited to benefit from. The owner of this Shor HaNiskal cannot benefit from the meat. So that's it's Osir Bahano. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a Mivne, structural note. A diamond is introduced. Kushios al Hodikotoni. We're going to be raising questions on that which it said. Even if you slaughtered it in a proper slaughtering method, you slaughtered this sentenced ox, you can not benefit from it even then. Not only if the ox was stoned, but even if it was slaughtered after the Gemar Din. And we're going to now raise a question. Mimai dehai lo yeochel es besoro. By the way, do you see the arrow to the immediate left-hand side of more text? Look at where it was pointing above. It pointed to the line that said lo yeochel es besoro maglav she'im shochtu achag v'shig mardino asr bachila. So the Gemara is asking, who says that lo yeochel besoro lehecho deshochit liachar shenig mardino hu da'asa? Who says that pasuk is describing that case of slaughtering after it was sentenced? Dilmo hecho deshochit liachar shenig mardino shori. Maybe if you slaughtered it even though it was sentenced, but you slaughtered it, so it's allowed. the high lo yeochel, and the lo yeochel is hecho de sakle miskal hu de osa uche de rabbi avo. Lo yeochel is referring to a case where it was simply stoned, and it's going to teach me Rabbi Avo's point, from which we will learn isur hano. Reading again, uched Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Lozer, teaching me Rabbi Lozer, Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Lozer's point. The Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Lozer, kol mokom shenemar. Wherever you see in the Torah any one of the following expressions, lo yeochel, lo sochal, velo sochlu, echod isur achilo, echod isur hano'o. Not only does it teach me about the prohibition of eating, but it teaches me the prohibition of deriving benefit as well. Ad shifrut loch hakosuv keder sheporat loch benevelo. Until the Pasuk specifies otherwise. Until the Pasuk specifies that you are allowed to benefit, as the Torah did in the case of Nevela. In the case of Nevela, the Torah says that you shall not eat Nevela. It says, Lo sochlu kol Nevela. But, Lagera shebesherecha titneno. The Nevela, though, you give to the sojourner in your midst, or sell it to the idol worshipper in your midst. That's a form of hana. The Torah is enabling me to give the nevela as a gift to a ger toshav, or sell it to an idol worshipper. So you can sell the nevela to an idol worshipper. So you have a case in point where the Torah says do not eat it, but yes, derive benefit. If you don't have that setup, that description, a specified benefit that you're allowed to receive, when the Torah simply says do not eat it, it's telling me not just do not eat it, but you can't derive benefit from it either. So at this point, we're bringing into question that which we concluded in the source above, that lo yechol es besoro tells me that even if you shechted the shor niskal, the meat is prohibited to consume. The Gemara answers, Hani Mili. That which we said that Lo Yeochel would be the source of Isur Hano, the prohibition of even benefiting, Hecha Denafko Lon Isur Achilo Mi Lo Yeochel. That's when, from the very same term, Lo Yeochel is going to be my source for the prohibition of eating. So if lo yeochel serves as the source for prohibition of eating, it can also serve as the source for prohibition of deriving any benefit. Hocha, in the case of the shor haniskal, isur achila misokel yisokel nafka, the prohibition of eating it is from the fact that the Torah says it shall be stoned. If it's going to be stoned, it's going to be an avela. And as an avela, it's also to eat. I'm not learning the prohibition of eating the shor haniskal, the stoned ox, from the term lo yeochel. Therefore, lo yeochel is not going to be the source of the isur hano, and rather it tells me, like we saw in the source, that even if you slaughter it, you won't be able to eat it. If you were to think that lo yeochel by the shor haniskal is to tell me the prohibition of benefit, nichtov kro lo yehoneh, let the pasuk write that do not benefit. Inami lo yeochel, let the Torah have written just lo yeochel and stop there. Es besoroi lomali. Why in the pasuk does it say lo yeochel es besoro? So it tells me, like we saw in the source above, afagav de shachte ke'ein bosar. Even though you slaughtered it like you do regular meat, that's the reference to basaro, even though you slaughtered it like you would regular meat, osir, it still is prohibited. Maskif lo marzutra. Marzutra raises a question. Viema hani mili, that which we said that the slaughtering of the shor haniskal does not enable it to be eaten, that is when hecha de bodak tsur v'shochad bo. That's where you found and checked out a tsur, a stone, and discovered that it was very smooth. It was smooth in terms of there were no notches in it, no kinks in it, but it was also sharp enough for you to slaughter with it. So you have a very smooth, sharp-edged stone. And you took that v'shochat bo and slaughtered the sentenced ox. Demechsi keskila. That looks like a form of stoning because you used the stone to slaughter it. And under those circumstances, so then we say, in our question, that's when the slaughtering of the shor haniskal results it does not result in a heter achila, in your being allowed to eat it. Aval shachte basakin lo, but if you were to slaughter with a metal knife, that would not be a problem. It wouldn't be prohibited. Maybe that's the approach we should take. And yet the source above doesn't make that distinction. It says any kind of slaughtering is not going to result in it being allowed. The Gemara answers, midi sakin ba'oraisuksiv. When the Torah talks about slaughtering, does it say slaughtering with a metal knife? It doesn't say that. It just talks about slaughtering. And since the Torah mentions slaughtering without any qualifications, so any form of slaughtering of the shor haniskal will not result in it being allowed. In other words, the suggested distinction between a stone slaughtering entity and a metal knife is not found. There's no precedent for that in the Torah with regard to the laws of Shechita. So that when we say that Shechita, the slaughtering of the shor haniskal, is prohibited, regardless of what instrument you used in slaughtering. V'oid tanya. And furthermore, we have a Tanaic source which bears out this point, that there's no distinction in different utensils used for slaughtering. It says, Bakol sheichten, with all elements, with all the utensils you can slaughter, bein b'tzur, whether it be a stone, bein b'shuchis, whether it be a sharp glass, bein b'krimis shokona, whether it be with a sharp reed. We continue with further analysis of the issue of shor haniskal. The hashto denafka lon isur achila the isur hana travaihu milo yeochel. There is an arrow that we have pointing to be aligned with a line several lines up. And at that point in the Gemara, it was mentioned that let the Torah write just lo yeochel. From that, I would have, yes, been able to discover both the prohibition of eating it and the prohibition of benefiting from it. So that now that has been accepted, that both the Isur Achila and the Isur Hana are derived from Lo Yeochel. I believe that the original suggestion that the Isur Achila was learned from Sokel Yusokel, at this point we will simply say that Sokel Yusokel is in the pasuk to tell me procedurally what you do to the ox. But as far as the prohibition of eating it and deriving benefit, that in fact is learned from Lo Yeochel. That having been said, Hai Bal Hashor Noki Lamayosa, Notice we have a star to the right-hand side of more text, and above we have a star that corresponds. At that point above in the Tanaic source, Baal HaShoren Oki was presented as the source for the Isur Hanah. Now we're saying that Lo Yoachel is going to be the source of Isur Hanah. In fact, like Rabbi Avo Omer Rabbi Lozer had said earlier. So if Lo Yoachel is the source of Isur Hanah, then Baal HaShoren Oki Lamai also, what is its role? What is it coming to teach me? Answer, Lahanoas Oro. That you're not allowed to benefit even from the skin of the Shor HaNiskal. Do I need a special ruling for that? Salka Daita Chamino, I would have thought, had I not had Baal HaShoren Oki, Lo Yeochel Es Besoro Ksiv, Besoro Aser V'yoyroi Mutu. The Pasuk says Lo Yeochel Es Besoro, which would have left room for me to think the Besoro, the meat, is Aser, but the skin is Mutter to benefit from. Therefore, I need Baal HaShoren Oki to teach me the prohibition of the skins. You cannot benefit from the skin, not allowed to make it into leather, and whatever other skin products one could process. Question. Ulahanach tanoi demafki lei. Hai Baal HaShoren Oki. There is another school of Tanaic thought that uses Baal HaShoren Oki l'chatzi koifu l'dmei volodos to tell me that if a shor tam, we'll say domesticated or a domicile, a docile shor that hasn't established itself as a goring type shor, that even though a shor hamuad pays kofer, pays a compensation to the family of the victim of the killed victim, if the animal is a short tam, there is no half payment. Even though a short tam, a docile, a non-goring animal will pay half damages, but it doesn't pay half, we'll say, death money. Uladme vlados, if a short gored a woman and caused her to miscarry, there is no compensation for the miscarriage paid to the husband, as opposed to a case where a person creates a miscarriage. A person through impacting upon the woman, a miscarriage results, he does have to compensate. So Baal HaShoren Oki, the owner of the animal, is clean, meaning from the need to pay chatzi koifer, half death money in the case of a short tam that killed someone, and likewise the owner of an animal that caused a miscarriage does not compensate for the miscarriage. Hanoas, and that's all learned from Baal HaShoren Oki. Hanoas eroi minolahu, those tanoim, where will they learn the prohibition of benefiting from the skins? Answer, may es besoro. The word es appears in our pasuk above. It said lo yeochel es besoro. The word es means es hatofel le besoro, that which is subsidiary to the meat. When you're looking at an animal, the main animal value is in the meat. Subsidiary, tofel to that, is the skin. So es comes to include the skin. Ve'idach, the other opinion that didn't learn from Es, but rather learned from Baal HaShoren Oki to tell me the prohibition of skins. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Zayin. Es lo dorish. That Tana does not see any inclusionary value in the word Es. Kedisanya, and that mode of thought is featured in the following Tanaic source, which features a story. And in this story, you will see how a Tana, Shimon Hamsuni, desisted from darshaning, from expanding upon the word S in the Torah. The source tells us, Shimon Hamsuni, Vyamri Lo, another version by way of names is Nehemiah Hamsuni, Hayodorish kol etzin shebetorah. Every time the Torah used the word es, he saw something that can be included. He could marbe something from it. However, kevon shigia les Hashem elokecha tira, when he got to the pasuk that says es Hashem elokecha tira, the Lord Almighty is one whom you will fear, and you have the word es, piresh, he departed from focusing, from darshaning the word es, because in this case it would have meant that you would include something else that you would fear like God, and that couldn't be, he couldn't imagine what could be included. And as a result, Omru lo Tamidov, the students asked him, Rebbe kol esen shedarashta mate aleim, all the esen, esen is the plural form of the word es, that you darshan, what's going to be with all of them? In other words, you had some kind of, we'll call it a formula for darshaning the word es. I'm saying this not simply by way of analogy. And now, you've reached a point, a pasuk, where the formula doesn't work. So there's some kind of lack in your approach. So what's going to be with all of the previous essen that you darshened? Omar lohem. So Nehemiah or Shimon Hamsuni answered, "Kishem shikbat yischar la drisha." Just like I received reward for my attempts on explaining es, kach kibalti al aprisha. So too, I get reward for my departure from my desisting from darshaning the word es. So as far as Shimon Hamsuni is concerned, es is not here to include anything else. It's not going to include skins in our pasuk. That's being prohibited in Hana. Therefore, the school of thought that would follow the inspiration of Shimon Hamsuni will need Bala Shornoki to tell me about the prohibition of the skins. Anyway, this approach of S not being available for drushes because of the Pasuk Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Ad Shebo Rabbi Kiva, this was so until Rabbi Kiva came along, the Limeid, and in fact taught Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Hamidi Chachamim, that in addition to the command of fearing God, we're also commanded to have a sense of fear, of awe of Torah scholars. There are those that have said, some have said that Rabbi Kiva was able to make that drasha, seeing the greatness of the likes of Shimon Hamsuni, who out of honesty was able to part with all his efforts that he had made up till that point. This very much impressed Rabbi Akiva, and said, now you see what a real Talmud Chacham is like. He too is someone that one is commanded to have respect and fear of. Whether that's an authentic explanation, I don't know. All I'm saying is that it's something that I have heard in the past. The Mishnah mentioned be'egla arufa, that using an egla arufa to marry a woman is not going to be effective. The egla arufa, the calf whose neck is broken in the case of a murder victim found between two cities, that is also bahana minolan. From where do you know that? Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, kapora ksiv bo kikochim. In the posuk that deals with the egla rufa, Rashi quotes the posuk saying, kaper la'amcha Yisrael. And the word kaper, atone, and the term atonement is something that you find by kochim, by sacrifices. And kochim are forbidden to benefit from. And Rashi explains that there is a sin called mi'ila in benefiting from kachim, from sanctified items, and especially sacrifices. And egla rufa also, just like sacrifices, has atonement qualities. Tzipore mitzora minolon, the birds used as the first, a ritual that is performed using the birds as the first stage of the mitzora purification, they are osur banam in nolan. From where do you know that? the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. In the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, the following teaching appears, the following source appears. The source presents to us an analogy. Ne'mar machshiru mechaper mibifnim. The Torah speaks about a machshir. The term machshir is a reference to the Osham Metzora. A person who was a Metzora is essentially prohibited in partaking of sacrifices, and he has other restrictions in order to enable him to rejoin, we'll say, the Jewish community and regain standard rights. He has to bring a guilt offering called an osham. And there's special blood applications that you don't find by other sacrifices. That's the machshir that enables him to achieve purification. So machshir, and that is done mibifnim, done in the temple courtyard. It's a sacrifice that's processed in the temple courtyard. You also have mechaper mibifnim. What's mechaper? All sacrifices. So the Torah speaks about a machshir and a mechaper in the Beis HaMikdash. V'nemar machshir mechaper mibachutz. There are also examples of a machshir that's bachutz, that's outside the Beis HaMikdash, and examples of a mechaper outside the Beis HaMikdash. What are those? The machshir is the Tzipori Metzora. The mechaper, the source of atonement that you find outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's a reference to the Egla Rufa. Ma machshir mechaper omer bifnim. Osaboy machshir kimechaper, just like in the case of those internal sacrifices. The machshir, the osher mitzora, is like other sacrifices. The Torah doesn't make any distinction between an osher mitzora and other guilt offerings, and there are quite a few other kinds of guilt offerings. The Torah doesn't make any distinction per se. Af machshir u'mechaper ha'omur b'chutz, asei bo machshir kimechaper. So too, regarding the external machshir mechaper, view the machshir, the tzipori mitzora, as the mechaper, as the egla rufa. And we already proved by the egla rufa that it is like kochim, as kaporah ksivbe, the word kaporah, atonement you find there. And making the egla rufa osubano, so too, therefore, the tzipori mitzora will be osur behana. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.